Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming to this is our first quarterly community safety meeting of 2025. This meeting will be brought to you in person, obviously, and then over Zoom, and a live recording will be available after the meeting. Before we begin, I would like to start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone, for coming, those in person and via Zoom. Before we begin, we're going to have a word from our Chief of Police, Jim O'Shea.
Thank you, Megan. As was stated, this is our first quarterly meeting of 2025, and we're excited to be here. We do have some audience members tonight, and we love that. And we also have a few people online that are watching. Most importantly, if you ever need to recap or rewatch the meeting or watch it for the first time, please let your friends know. Luke here will have it out on the internet on the Village website, available shortly after, probably tomorrow sometime would be my guess. It won't go out immediately. Before we get started and I introduce some of our great guest speakers tonight, I just want to mention a little bit, winter is still here. We've had a little bit of a break. But what we haven't seen is the reduction in accidents out there that could be avoided. Stop signs are meant to stop at. Defensive driving is great. Sometimes they can avoid both parties entering an intersection at the same time, as well as injuries. We've had some serious injury accidents. We had a fatality accident up at North Avenue and Lathrop. So these are things that our officers are working on, problem solving, and trying to reduce those accidents out there. But please remember, we're going to get hit with another bout of snow, they're saying, in the next week. And we want to make sure everyone just keeps safe and make sure to buckle up, utilize your turn signals, and everything else that you should do when you're engaging in safe driving. Tonight, we're going to hear from some great guest speakers. Our first guest speaker that will be up momentarily will be from Thrive Counseling Center Services, Amanda Lopez, who's a certified health education expert. We're also going to hear from our own Sean Buss, who's our community service officer, who's going to explain some of the parking enforcement, non-emergency assistance, and child safety seat inspections that the villages offer. We're also going to hear from Megan Drake, who will be talking about the police services here and some up-and-coming events, including cyber safety. And we'll hear from Denise Zermano, Detective Denise Zermano, who'll give us an update on some crime trends and statistics. And as always, we'll take some questions from both our live audience in person and our live audience that's on watching us online tonight. Our first guest speaker will be Amanda Lopez. And Amanda, are you out there?
Yes, I am right here.
We're going to turn it over to you, Amanda. Thank you for presenting tonight.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I did provide a few slides. If that's okay, I'm just going to share my screen if everyone is able to see that. I'm just going to send a request for that. Okay, give me one moment. Are you able to see it?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I hope you're all enjoying the 30-degree weather as it's, to me, it's very warm. So I hope you're all enjoying it. As you mentioned, my name is Amanda Lopez. I'm from Thrive Counseling Center. Today, I'm just going to show you some basic info about our organization and what we do and just quite a few updates as we have a few exciting things coming up. For those of you who may not know about Thrive, we are a community mental health center. We're located in downtown Oak Park, right on Marion Street. Though we're located in Oak Park, we see clients from all over the place, considering River Forest, Oak Park, Berwyn, Chicago, other surrounding neighborhoods. So today I'm just going to kind of share an overview of our services and, like I mentioned, just a few updates. So kind of, well, here, let me minimize this. Oops, sorry. Myself over here. Okay, just a little bit about what we do. So as I mentioned, we're a community mental health center. We provide individual, family, couples, and group counseling services. We serve all ages, including adults 18 and up, as well as youth, the ages of 6 to 17 years old. We also provide psychiatric services. Our psychiatric services include a psychiatric assessment and diagnosis, as well as medication management. With those services, that's also for adult and youth as well. We also provide 24/7 crisis response, which I'll get into a little bit more in just a moment. We also provide an adult trauma clinic, which is fairly new, but we're still launching that and still accepting new members for that as well. And we also provide suicide prevention awareness. So kind of just to break into everything, as I mentioned, we provide individual and group counseling services. Some of our group services include art therapy, a dialectical behavioral therapy group, a grief group that's in virtual and in person, another group including meaning through music, relationships, as well as a mindfulness basic group. And as well, we're just launching our new group, known as Support for Caregivers, which will be starting on March 26th. So individual therapy as well as group therapy. We also provide 24/7 crisis response. What that entails is that we have a crisis team and we provide 24/7 care through the phone, and as well as we accepting walk-ins during office hours. So that's Monday through Friday, as well as Saturdays as well. With our crisis response team, if an individual is considered having thoughts of suicide, if they're feeling really anxious, feeling really depressed, having psychotic episodes, or basically just they don't really know how to describe how they're feeling, they can reach out to our crisis team. So we have a 24/7 response team on the phone, so they can just call our team anytime. And then, like I mentioned, they could also walk in, but we also provide mobile crisis response in the Oak Park and River Forest area. So if an individual needs a crisis worker to come speak, to come and meet them to help de-escalate a situation or anything like that, or if someone needs support with someone that they come across who may be facing any of the mental health crises included here, our team will go out and reach out to them. So just really want to make that aware that we have this crisis team available, considering, the high numbers of suicide rates and just the overall mental health in general, just letting people know that we have this team to support individuals in the community. We also have an adult trauma clinic, as I mentioned before. It's a short intensive program that consists of 3 weekly groups and 1 individual weekly group session each week. So that's an overall of 4 sessions a week. Basically, the goal of the program is to help change the way traumatic memories are stored in the brain. Trauma can be identified in any way by the individual and how they affect them on a daily basis. So this clinic is available for individuals 18 and up as well. Basically, if someone is interested in attending the adult trauma clinic, they would call, and then they would take an assessment. And then from there, they'd be able to join the group. And it lasts for about 12 weeks, is how long the group is. For the group, we do accept Medicaid as well. And I'll talk a little bit more about insurance overall that we accept, but just to show that our adult trauma clinic is actually actively recruiting, so we do have openings for that. As I mentioned, we also provide suicide prevention training. So the suicide prevention training that we provide is known as QPR, which stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. Basically, how do we ask the question if someone were to confide in you that they are feeling suicidal? How to pick up the warning signs of that someone that may be suicidal? How do we then persuade that individual to get the help that they need? And then how do we then refer them to get the help that they need as well? So educating people about what resources are available in the community. The goal of QPR is to really just help reduce the numbers around suicide and just to really help normalize the conversation around it. We have been in partnership with Oak Park River Forest High School, where we come once in the fall as well as in the spring as well, and we reach about 350 students each round of that. We've also partnered with Trinity High School as well. So we typically partner with high school students that are freshmen. However, we've also partnered with the River Forest Public Library, and we also have partnered with Housing Forward as well in providing this training for staff members too. So again, the goal of this overall program is to really just help reduce the numbers in suicide as well as creating and normalizing the conversation around it. So that's a bit overview about what we do. Also to include with our services, as I mentioned before, we do accept Medicaid. We also accept Medicare. We also do a sliding scale as well as self-pay, basically trying to make our services as accessible as possible for individuals in the community. And as I mentioned, you do not need to be an Oak Park or River Forest resident to seek our services. We have a few exciting things coming up. We have our upcoming Thrive Talk. A Thrive Talk is basically an educational series that we provide about 5 times a year on a variety of different educational topics. This one coming up is actually next Thursday, February 6th, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. It'll be taking place at Dominican. And this one, we actually are partnering up with Sarah's Inn, which is an agency in Oak Park that focuses on domestic violence. And this topic will be safety in dating, specifically for teens and young adults. It's free for anyone to attend, and it's actually also available for CEU credit for social workers as well as counselors. So that's a free information of that can be found on our website as well as our social media pages as well. As I mentioned as well, we also have support for caregivers, which is a new group that will be starting soon for adults 18 and up as well. And that will be beginning on March 26th. However, we are starting recruitment for that group as well. And then just another exciting update about what's been going on at Thrive is that we actually recently expanded. So our main location is located at 120 South Marion Street. However, we recently expanded to the Shaker Building off of 1100 Lake Street, right above Potbelly, if you're familiar with that area. We've moved our whole administrative team to this office space in order to create new office space so that we could see new clients. So what's going to be happening, we just moved about a week and a half ago. So what's going to be happening is that our second floor is actually going to be transformed into more office spaces. Once that renovation is complete, we are going to be hiring 4 to 5 new therapists. And the overall goal with this whole renovation and expansion is to seek an additional 150 clients per year. So that's just an exciting thing happening at Thrive as well. And I'm just excited to, just continue sharing our information. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to look on our website. I also can provide my contact information in the comments as well. If you're ever interested in partnership, maybe you're interested in QPR or just interested in learning more about what's going on with us or interested in our Thrive Talks, I'd be more than happy to answer any of those questions. So I can definitely leave my contact information, in the comments below. Thank you so much.
Amanda, thank you so much for presenting tonight. As she mentioned, we do work closely with Thrive on a lot of different calls that we respond to. So we rely heavily on our professional relationship with them, but we appreciate your time. I'm going
Thank
to
you.
inter Thank you. Now I'm going to introduce our community service officer, Sean Buss, who's going to talk to you a little bit about the services that he provides here and some other things at the police department.
All right, thank you, Megan. My name is Sean Buss. I am the community service officer for the River Forest Police Department. I worked here for about 3 years now. I am full time. There is only one of me. I work alongside with Megan and a lot of our fellow police officers and firefighters. And I'll go through the topics of basically my roles and responsibilities as the community service officer. All right, so a part of my roles and responsibilities, parking enforcement is a big one, and I'll go further explain on that in the next coming slides. Motorists and citizen non-emergency assistance. Like I said before, I work alongside with our police and fire. When there's a car accident, I go there. I do traffic control, make sure that, you know, we get our traffic settled, you know, in a even fashion. Graffiti removal. If you see graffiti around town, you could call our non-emergency department. I deal a lot with that. I try my best to remove it in the safest possible reason. That document, of course. Animal control is a big one. I am primarily the animal control officer. If there's any animals in your livable house, I will come out and try to extract them as safely as possible. Bats, raccoons, squirrels. I also deal with stray animals, such as dogs and cats. Short story about that. There was a husky that was abandoned at our metro stop a couple months ago. I was called on scene. She was tied up, left there with a bowl of food, and I took her to Animal Care League. She didn't have a chip. I eventually adopted her to my own, and I've had her for about 6 months, and she's great, and I love her. Also, we do fingerprinting. I deal a lot with the ink fingerprints, specifically the FD-258 cards. So I get a lot of applicants that come through, and they need to get fingerprinted for medical reasons or of the other applicants for students going into medical, or I've had people come in and they said that they're sharing racehorses and they need to get fingerprinted for that. So a number of things. I am also the court officer for local and municipal court. So that includes adjudication, which is the first Monday of the month. And that is when you want to contest your parking tickets, tow fees, as well as municipal, which is misdemeanor and traffic. So when you get tickets or get arrested, I'm there to document what goes on at Maybrook. Child safety seat inspection, I'll go along and talk on that in the next coming slides. But we have fire and police are technicians for the safety seat. So anytime you need to get a car seat installed or uninstalled, call us. We'll help you out. Vehicle service. I work alongside Sergeant Grill. He and I will maintain our police car fleet, including the lights, the sirens, the electronics. We take care of that. If it's broken down, we'll take it to wherever it needs to go. Pete's Auto at Lake and Lathrop, or the dealerships, or I'm sorry, Madison and Lathrop, or the dealers, or wherever. School crossings. We do have our crossing guards that are privately contracted. Thank you. However, if the crossing guard isn't there, I'll go out there. I'll cross the kids. Dismissal and arrival, they're great. They're awesome. Administrative support. Like I said, I work alongside with Megan and Sergeant Grill and our records division. Whenever they need help with, I try to help them as best as I can with whatever. Speed trailer deployment. We have three speed trailers. We just got a newly message board. So that's two message boards and a speed trailer. You may have seen them around town. They say slow down. Radar enforcement zone ahead. It tracks all kinds of great data throughout town. It'll tell us how fast the average speed is. You know, it could go alongside with just getting any information out. Luke, if you will. Going back to the child safety scene inspection. So we are, with the fire and police technicians that we go to a 3-day course, learn how to install and uninstall child safety seats. So we have a program. You can go on our website at vrf.us fill in a car seat form, send that in to us. It gets emailed to all the technicians, and we work around trying to get you your car seat installed in the proper manner. So we have everyone 24 hours, 365 days, everyone on every shift, including the fire department. Talking about the park enforcement. So there is a lot of parking restrictions in town, if you guys haven't noticed. I will be the one that primarily issues parking tickets. Sorry. but that is my job. So we have a lot of different restrictions in town, such as daily parking fees, permit parking fees. We have village lots throughout town. School zones are big for arrival and dismissals. We want cars not being parked there so we could get buses and students into school properly and safely. We have some timed parking zones in town. So we have 2-hour parking zones, 4-hour parking zones, which are primarily like 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, pretty much open on the weekends. Town center parking zones, so our town center lot has a permit for the employees there, so people aren't hitching on the green line, getting a free ride. Booted vehicles, if you get 11 or more unpaid parking tickets, you'll go on our list. We'll notify you that you're in violation. And if you fail to pay off those tickets, we will boot your vehicle. And we also have LPRs, which are license plate readers. They are attached to a few of our squad cars, and we have some around town as well. So for, like I mentioned before, the time limit zones, our cars can drive past a parked vehicle in a specific timed parking zone, and it'll knock you if you're over that timed parking zone. It also works along with capturing stolen plates, suspended plates. Really helps us out a lot in the criminal side. And that's pretty much it. If you guys have any questions for me or in the audience on Zoom, I'll be here. Thank you.
Sean was kind enough to volunteer to make his public speaking debut tonight as our second guest speaker when I asked him. So we're very appreciative that he's here. And this is a lot of the stuff behind the scenes at the police department that people might not immediately associate with law enforcement, but it's all very important. And as you can see, Sean has many different roles that help all of us here. Really quick, these QR codes that are on here, you can find all this on the village website, but that will lead you to the form that you will fill out to submit for a car seat inspection. Whether it's installed or not installed, you can have the child with you or not with you. The technicians will, like Sean said, look over that installation and make sure that it's in there properly, because the majority of car seats are improperly installed. This QR code, this will lead you to any sort of parking requests on the village website, where you can see parking passes and all those other things listed in the bullet points. If you didn't have a chance to get those QR codes, they will be, like we said, after the meeting sometime probably tomorrow when these slides are posted, you'll be able to access them. But all of that information is also on our village website. Let's see here. So briefly, I'm going to go over, just a reminder, we try to do this every time, discuss some of the free services that we offer here at the Village and the Police Department. Our emergency ID bracelet program, this has proven to be extremely beneficial, whether it's someone that has dementia or if there is someone that has some other medical condition that they believe it's imperative for our first responders to know. There's a red bracelet that has a small metal bracket on it. This is a free program, and it won't have your name, address, personal information, but it will assign you a number, and then we keep all that information private here, securely stored at the police department. So if you have allergies or if someone is nonverbal, anything that you think should be on there, we do offer those, and they have helped us many times when we run into people for different calls. We're able to get them back home or get them treatment safely. The frontline, this is your portal that's on the village website. Overnight parking, the Vacation Watch program, and then Keyholder Portal. This can be for businesses and or residents where you can put any pertinent information on there about either the building or your home. So that way, if there's an emergency there, we have contact numbers accessible, information about alarm systems. Vacation Watch is great if you're going out of town for an extended period of time. Officers can go on that. They go on there daily throughout their shifts, and they can see where they need to do extra premise checks. You can put down which cars should be in the driveway. So that way, if we see vehicles that aren't supposed to be there, things like that. Residential security surveys. It would be me. I would come out and take a look at your residence and offer any sort of advice or things that I noticed where improvements could be made, or if you just want to go through the list and see what you already have installed and or working for you at home to make your residence more secure. We still offer Hyundai and Kia steering wheel locks. It's for certain years of those vehicles to deter motor vehicle theft. As Sean explained, child safety seat inspections, that's a big one. We love doing them. It's great to know that people are safely driving their children around. Okay, we want everyone safe, but definitely the kids. Restorative justice program, this is what we choose to do with juveniles that are in violation of any sort of local ordinance or potentially criminal law. The idea is to get them assistance rather than go straight to legal punishment, depending on the crime. River Forest Community Safety, this was previously known as iSearch, and I'm bringing these two up now. We'll talk about them a little bit more when I get into cyber safety, but River Forest Community Safety is a program that I work with the township on. We do this in schools, grades, as early as kindergarten, second, fourth, sixth, and eighth. We talk about various different safety subjects depending, and it's catered to their age group. And then Too Good for Drugs is with fifth grade, and that's a program where we discuss making smart choices, good friendships, peer pressure, and then eventually we do lead into speaking about drugs and alcohol, etc. Our Junior Citizens Police Academy, that's historically been a week in August every year. More information will be coming out about that as we get closer, so that way people can start sending in applications, because those come in pretty quickly once it is advertised. So upcoming events, we have Safer Internet Day is Tuesday, February 11th. This is something that I really think is important, especially in being in the schools, talking to the kids, the teachers, the administrative staff, and just with all of technology continuing to evolve, so do our problems when it comes to the internet. Greater access to phones and online tools for any of these kids of all ages. That's something that I would definitely recommend looking up online. It'll have a bunch of different great tips on there and other informational pieces that'll be helpful in keeping your kids safe. The River Forest Community Bike Exchange, that is going to be Saturday, April 12th at Roosevelt Middle School. It's on the blacktop near the playground area. This is going to be their fifth annual event. And I wrote down some of the statistics from last year, and each year it just continues to grow and grow. But 273 bikes were donated, which is something that you all can do within the community if you have kids that have outgrown their bicycles or maybe they're getting a new one. Of those 273 bikes that were donated last year, 183 were recycled to new homes, which is great. 90 of those that were left over get donated to working bikes. And then 85 of all of the bikes that were already not registered and that were recycled to new homes, we are there, the River Forest Police Department's there, and we do register bicycles with the village stickers on site. And that's the only time that you can get that bicycle sticker right away in person. You can still go through the village website, do it online, and we'll send it to you, but that's right there immediate. It's on the bike, and that is extremely helpful if your bike were to be lost or stolen. It is assigned a specific number, and just like the emergency ID bracelet system, we keep that information securely stored, so that way we've had bikes that were recovered from criminal offenders, and we're able to look up the serial number. There's a sticker on that bike, and we can get it back to the person that it belongs to. So it's free. There's no reason not to do it. It takes a couple minutes and we'll get that sticker to you as quickly as possible. But that is one event where you can get it that day immediately. So I wanted to talk a little bit tonight, and this is not going to be as in-depth as our parent presentations we do for cyber safety. Just some things that I am seeing a lot of in the schools, just in the younger community here in River Forest and elsewhere. So we're going to talk a little bit about cyberbullying laws. I have those listed on the next slide. Feel free to take a picture of that. You can look them up, but I want you all to be aware that there are laws out there that we investigate, our investigations unit looks into. There are ways to go about trying to solve those crimes if they should happen to you or someone you're close to, your kids, someone you care about. Digital footprint, this is something, these are things that we discuss, or I discuss through the River Forest Community Safety in Schools, as well as Too Good for Drugs. I want people to be aware that this is what your kids are hearing while they're in school when we're talking to them. We do discuss the digital footprint and how once you put something out there, whether it's a picture, a post, a video, a comment, even if you put it out there and delete it, it doesn't go away. There are so many various tools that we have as law enforcement that if we need to go back and look and try to find something to help a victim or anything like that, it's on there for a lot longer than people realize. So we try to make sure that the kids understand this so they're not either posting pictures, videos, or saying things that they are later going to regret. Artificial intelligence, AI, has gotten to be huge. We're still, ChatGPT has become a big thing, which I'm sure a lot of our educators are not thrilled about. It'll write your papers for you. But AI also has different chat sites that we have been seeing in the news and in surrounding towns that juveniles have been able to go on, such as Character AI or Spicy Chat AI, and they're having conversations with these artificial intelligence bots to the point where they are beginning to think that they're real people. They believe that they're developing relationships with these bots, some of which the conversations can get extremely inappropriate, sometimes sexually violent. So we want parents in our community to be aware that this is out there, so that way you can pay attention to what your kids might be looking at on their phone. Sextortion. We have had cases over the years of this in River Forest. This doesn't happen just to kids or juveniles. It can happen to adults. But these people that typically aren't in River Forest, but they do this, this is their job every day. They will convince whoever they're speaking to on Snapchat, TikTok, that they are someone of possibly the opposite gender, same age, send them a picture to where the victim will believe that it's them, and then convince that victim to send a picture exposing themselves or a video exposing themselves back. Within seconds, they're then asking for money to be sent to them. Otherwise, they're threatening to expose that picture to that person's friends list, to those person's family, friends, schools. It happens within even just a matter of 30 minutes. I think one of the cases most recently, within 30 minutes, they made contact, pictures were sent, and then they were being extorted for money. So this is something that we're trying to avoid. Like I said, it's not just kids. It can happen to adults too. Just be very careful, like I said, with the digital footprint and what you are putting out there. Should you run into a situation where someone you care about does have an image that has made its way online, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, NCMEC, they have takeitdown.ncmec.org. What you can do is go on there, and there's a process to where you can have that picture. It just discovers that picture online through what they call hash marks that are specific to that individual image or picture, and it will start pulling that from the different sites. So that is one tool that you can use to try and help you to remove these images from online. We work closely at the River Forest Police Department with Cook County's ICAC unit, which is the Internet Crimes Against Children. So our Sergeant Ben Ransom, who took over for me, or I took over for him 2 years ago, He is the one that gets all of these cyber crimes from ICAC. They come in from the FBI. They get geolocated to an area around here, and then he further investigates them. So he is our expert on that subject matter. He investigates all those cases. He's done parent presentations for us, and he's just got a ton of knowledge about different ways that you can keep your kids safe. So we will be planning another presentation specifically for parents and school administrators, teachers, and other adults in the community. Obviously, those presentations are tailored a little bit differently than they are to the kids. So there will be more information about that as it comes out. One thing that we do like to tell all the adults as well as the kids we talk to is the golden ticket rule. So they, too often we've seen where children will get themselves into a situation. Maybe they put a picture out there, send a picture to someone, and then they're being sextorted for money. We need them to be able to talk to you or another adult and explain what they're going through. Because if they are not able to, the amount of stress and mental distress that it creates for that child is just too consuming. It's all consuming. So we tell them that they need to talk to their families at home about the golden ticket, where it's, listen, this is what I did. I know it was wrong. I'm going to get in trouble, but I need your help. And we encourage them, either go to your parents, go to your grandparents, uncles, babysitter, teachers, someone at school, or they can come to us, because we want to make sure we get them out of that situation rather than watching their mental health suffer. Okay. So like I said, River Forest Community Safety, that was previously iSearch. We start talking about cyber safety around fourth grade, and then it gets more involved sixth and eighth, and obviously through high school as well. Too Good for Drugs, we do cover that in about two lessons out of the 10 that we do, just so that way they can get kind of a feel for what we're seeing and then some of the dangers that are out there. So that was an abbreviated presentation, I guess, of what we cover in the cyber safety lessons. But like I said, once we have a date, a specific date set for the next parent adult presentation, we will put that out there, and it'll be similar to this, so that way people can attend and get more information. These are the cyberbullying laws I was talking about. There's a handful. We see a lot of these: cyber stalking, unauthorized video recording, sexual exploitation of a child, definitely harassment through electronic communications. Look any of these up if there's something that you're interested in learning more about, but there are laws out there in place to try and protect your family members and your kids. And now that is all I have. A word from Detective Denise Cermeno. I apologize. I don't think I introduced myself at the beginning of this, but I'm Officer Megan Drake, and I'm with the Crime Prevention Unit here at the Police Department. And then I work as a school resource officer. So for those that didn't know, I apologize that it took me so long. But now we'll hear from Detective Denise Cermeno.
Hello. Sorry, let me pull up my notes. It's been a busy week, so. My name's Detective Denise Cermeno. I'm one of two detectives at our department. It's myself and Detective Sergeant Labriola. We're usually the ones that will contact you if you've ever been a victim of a crime. If it's something, a property crime, usually a phone call. If it's something a little more personal where you've been personally victimized, or, you know, more of a violent crime, then, you know, we'll arrange to meet in person and walk you through everything that needs to be done to either get you some assistance and whatever, you know, whether that's mental health, senior, we work with Megan a lot to get senior services involved if needed. And also any other resources that we can offer, like orders of protection, court services, all of that good stuff. I am just going to briefly talk about all the technology. It's 2025. A lot of things have changed. A lot of laws have changed for all of us. The biggest one being body worn cameras. We are all now, yeah, I don't know if you had any contact with any of our officers now, but we've got a giant little camera in the front of our vests. I think all of us can agree, we like them. We all like them. I think we're all a little iffy at first because new technology, you don't know what you're bumping into. But for the most part, it's turned out to be very resourceful for all of us. You know, we're able to review all of our encounters, get to see, you know, what was said. Sometimes if, you know, you miss a little clue here and there, you're able to review it for my side of things specifically. You know, I'm not always on scene. I don't know when I'm, for example, I'm working a big case right now. I wasn't on scene when any of that took place, so I can go back and see what was said, what was missed. If they're, you know, a victim is walking around showing them, here's where this took place. Obviously, I have pictures to go off of, but, you know, it's nothing like hearing it from the person to do it. So overall, I think we're all very satisfied with the body-worn cameras. It's again, at the end of the day, it's not meant to hurt us. It's meant to protect us also from any wrongdoing and helping us out in not only keeping everybody safe, but also having any successful convictions when needed in the back end. In addition to that, we have, like Sean here mentioned, we have those license plate readers. I wanted to talk a little bit on our end, what we use them for. On our end, in investigations, we use them to be able to identify any cars that were involved in. Usually it starts with patrol. Patrol will be able to do, that's the nice thing about working in a smaller department. They get to work their investigation as much as they want, to where sometimes, you know, we get a whole investigation already helping us out, and then we can just lead from there. Other times, there might not be enough clues, and we can go, again, review all those little crews, right, at body-worn cameras. We have multiple surveillance cameras in town that have just been awesome. Usually, I saw your face there. It's a lot of bigger avenues. They've also been proven to be very helpful in bigger investigations and capturing, you know, assisting even like Oak Park with Harlem Avenue. We've assisted them multiple times with bigger investigations and bigger crimes that have occurred in the surrounding areas. So yeah, the license plate readers are fun because I can mess around with the make, the model, the color, the state, and, you know, just type in little things there to try to, I'm kind of a nerd at that stuff, so I'm able to usually identify a vehicle that might be involved, and then go from there. We also just recently got Commander, if you, or I'm sorry, Deputy Chief. When did we get the real-time crime center? In June. I don't recall if I touched on that last meeting, but we have a real-time crime center. It's, again, I'm pretty geeky about that stuff, but it's a cool, it looks like a gaming setup. There's four screens, one keyboard, and we're able to monitor everything in real time. The cameras, the license plate readers, you know, we have resources where we communicate with outside agencies, which has been also, which has proven to be very helpful in our investigations and any in progress calls. I think our, it's safe to say that our response and arrest rates have skyrocketed because we're able to communicate with other agencies through the real time crime centers. And, you know, there's, it's granted through federal funding, and they're able to, Oak Brook has a giant one too, and they've helped us a lot with them, and they have a full-time person that they're able to, you know, sit down and assist with that. We kind of play it by ear, whoever's available, we uses it, but it's really cool setup. It's been a cool tool to have, and, you know, I don't have to go on my phone and go from one app to the other and to the other. I have the cameras there, everything I need, especially for in-progress calls, right? Sometimes going like this and we don't have the time to flip around. I briefly touched on it. There's a lot of resources that we have internally with new agencies that have also been proven to be very helpful. That includes a lot of the Chicago PD, which is a big one. Western agencies, all the surrounding towns, and, you know, we're able to share it with media, pictures, all that stuff, in progress items, and we've been able to help each other out immensely with that. I think the only thing I want to make you guys aware, nothing new. It's been scams. We're all aware that they're happening every day, whether that's you know, residents or solicitors coming to your door. As a reminder, they're all required to register with us. They should have a permit on them. There's a solicitor list online that could be done, but worst comes to worst, call us, right? If they're registered, no harm, no foul. If they're not, then Sometimes they get a ticket, sometimes they get a warning. A lot of times, you know, recently what we have been seeing is scams near the mall area in the Oak Park and River Forest side, where they're asking for donations, credit card donations, because, you know, they lost a family member, or collecting funds for a basketball team, or whatever the excuse may be. And they are asking you to swipe your credit card, and now they're entering extra zeros in that $10 donation you meant to do. We've seen a few of those, nothing major, nothing that has been, we're on top of that. Again, with the license plate readers and the resources, we've identified who those people are. We're alerted. We're, as soon as we know they're in town, we're on top of them. They leave immediately. Obviously, if the time comes when we do have a victim that wants to cooperate and, you know, sign complaints, we'll address it. But we are on top of them, and they know that, you know, they're not welcomed, and they need, it's a scam. Other than that, again, you guys, although I have all these other resources in the back end to do all of that stuff, I do welcome you to call us if you ever need anything. And your eyes are better than my cameras and the license plate readers and everything else I have. If you don't call, I don't know what's going on in town. Neither do, you know, the patrol and the CSO and all of the good staff we have working back here. So don't be afraid to call. If it's a simple mistake, then, you know, again, no harm, no foul. If it's something that we need to document, we have field contact cards, which just means, you know, I bumped into Chief O'Shea on the street, and he said he was doing this. And now if we bump into him again and he has a different excuse, you know, that's that, we keep record of that. So eventually it gets addressed. So give us a call, and, you know, we're here to serve you guys.
Thank you, Detective Zermeno. This is the time of the evening where we take a few questions, either from our live audience or our online audience. I do want to mention a few things, just in addition to what's been talked about tonight. Thrive. I can't say enough about our partnership with Thrive. When you talk about suicide prevention, education, when someone's in crisis, the response. I think I heard three calls today, two in River Forest and one in Forest Park. There might have been a fourth in Oak Park that was related to suicide. Some were people that reached out to either the crisis hotlines or reached out directly to the dispatch center or through a third person. And in the past, if those resources weren't available, it would have been the police department and the fire department several days later being called to a house for a welfare check. And of course, the results would not be as we'd want. But in the cases that we see a lot more now, these resources that are available through Thrive and other organizations has really helped. And really, I think the term we talk about is normalize these discussions, normalize that someone can go through some crisis and even some treatments and some other things. And they're back on the road to what they consider to be their regular routine, a regular life. Other thing I want to mention, we had Sean Buss, who made his debut this evening, speaking before the community safety meeting. And what I could say is I appeared on a call today with Sean. There was a retail theft at the Jewel. The offender ran from the Jewel. Sean spotted the individual and gave out direction. Eventually, an officer stopped that person. I happened to be in the area and stopped on the call. And I think the officers, including myself and especially Sean, noticed that he was exhibiting behaviors of possibly overdosing or being intoxicated with opioids. Sean, having the training that we all have, was able to administer a dose of Narcan, which helped keep the person alert as they were nodding off. And of course, we had already called the fire department, who came and transported that individual to the hospital. Without having that Narcan on the street, without having such a quick response by the fire department, these are sometimes calls where an overdose turns into a death. So Sean's an individual that wears many hats, just like crime prevention officer Megan Drake. And it really would take a separate meeting to probably list all these tasks and responsibilities that they have. I also want to mention that not all our audience members tonight are human. We actually have in attendance our first service dog, Charlie, that's in attendance this evening. So we are very welcoming to Charlie and Charlie's owners tonight. And we're going to welcome back Charlie. He's been a perfect audience member, and we just love to have him here. I think also we had a resident that's Luke that's wanted to make a comment to the group this evening.
Miss Hughes, if you would like to make your public comment, feel free to chime in now.
Thank you so much, Chief Shea. Thank you so much for putting this on. Just for kind of the background for residents listening to this call, on Thanksgiving Day, I went for a power walk, and I was hit by an SUV at Thatcher in Chicago. The accident was captured on the village cameras that they have at the intersection. And upon reviewing the tapes, you know, I could see that I was being cautious and I looked both ways. I turned to see the car careening at me right before it hit, and I was able to leverage my body over the hood of the car rather than be caught under the car. I bounced off the hood and I was ejected 10 feet, and luckily I landed in the parkway grass. I cannot say enough good things about our police department and paramedics. Police were there within less than a minute of the 911 call, and I was given phenomenal care by the police, paramedics, and the trauma unit at Loyola. But I want to share the story for a reason. So the driver did stop and was ticketed with hitting a pedestrian and not having insurance. Now, while as I saw on the tapes, it looked like she had entered the, right after she entered the intersection, light turned red. She seemed to be driving fast. She partially turned into the left lane of the other street she was turning into, but was just ticketed for hitting a pedestrian and not having insurance. The police were fantastic to meet with me and just kind of explain the situation that you can't issue traffic violations based on what's seen on those cameras. This excludes those red light cameras at Harlem. But so I felt very good that the police did everything they could in this situation. Court was almost as nerve-wracking as the accident itself. All the defendants, the 2 days I went to court, they had all been ticketed in River Forest. And most of the violations involved them driving without a license, driving on a suspended license, not having insurance, getting into an accident, hitting a pedestrian, and often included two or more of these offenses. The defendants were given minimal fines, at most $100. And for those who hadn't obtained proper driver's license and or insurance by the court date, most of them were given an additional 90 days to obtain. I also didn't see many people taking Ubers to the courthouse or coming with other people, so I can only imagine how they got there. But the defendant who hit me didn't show up on either court date, but she was told to appear. So the judge ordered her license be suspended. But as of a week after the court date, her license is still showing active, according to the Secretary of State. Which this is not, you know, a River Forest issue or anything the police have anything to do with. But I also discovered in April she was ticketed for not having insurance in Bellwood. She didn't show up in court, and her license was to be suspended then, but it never was. River Forest has become a thoroughfare for cars driving east and west our neighborhood, often to avoid traffic on the Eisenhower. They seem to treat our streets as if it's an it's an interstate as well. I've witnessed many, many cars blowing the stop signs at Division and Park and Park in Chicago. I think we've all seen drivers drive down Thatcher as if it's an interstate, completely disregarding a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. Our police are doing everything they can to keep us safe, but we have a very lenient judicial system, and it results in reckless drivers driving through our neighborhood knowing that even if they're ticketed, there are minimal repercussions. So, you know, to our residents listening to this, I think we need to think about what traffic safety measures and street closures we may want to explore. You know, if you think about it, there's very few streets, if any, that you can turn south into Oak Park from North Avenue. Elmwood Park has made it very difficult to get into their neighborhood from the main streets. They've blocked off many of their streets, and then they have they've even begun gating their alleyways, and are only accessible to residents via a key card. So, you know, I'll be honest, when I first saw that we have those barricades at Harlem and Greenfield, so you can't turn left into or out of the intersection, you know, I thought it was an inconvenience. But And now I really have a great understanding of the dangers of these reckless drivers using our neighborhood as a thoroughfare. And I support and encourage residents to support the village, you know, exploring whether it's blockades or reroutes or dead-ending streets, just whatever can be done to discourage people from, you know, going through our side streets, you know, recklessly as they do. As I said, I think we have one of the best police departments you can assemble. And they do absolutely everything that they can. And it, you know, when I went to meet with Chief O'Shea and his staff were kind enough to meet with me to just sort of explain, you know, the limitations on them ticketing the driver who hit me beyond what they did ticket her for. And, you know, Chief Shea, you expressed so much compassion about my accident and you reminded me of what I've thought of every day since that accident. It could have been a very different outcome, as was the tragedy at Lathrop and North Avenue. So I just really encourage our residents to, if the village so undertakes exploring different safety measures that may seem like an inconvenience at first, that it really, I think, is key to getting our neighborhood back to being the safe place it was. But thanks again to Chief Shea and your staff. You guys are phenomenal. And thanks for putting this on.
Thank you, Mrs. Hughes. And once again, after viewing that video a couple of times, we are just glad you're alive and still with us and still want to live in the village of River Forest. And, you know, please remember for some of the friends and other neighbors that you have around you, the village board and also our Traffic and Safety Commission are always interested in hearing from residents directly on those safety issues that may require some engineering. That issues where you can't enforce your way out of a problem. Sometimes you need to bring in engineers and architects. And also, as you know, the village has been engaged in some ongoing traffic studies to help with that decision making. And we're here to serve the residents and try to fulfill their needs as best as possible. And once again, Ms. Hughes, thank you for all your comments tonight. And we're always glad to hear from you.
Thanks, Chief Shea.
One other thing I always like to mention is supervisors are always available 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter whether it's Saturday night at 3 in the morning or Monday morning at 10 a.m. If you have something you feel sensitive of nature, you're not sure what direction to go, and you feel more comfortable asking if a supervisor could come out to your location or residence or meet you at the police department here in the lobby, that's always available to you. If you have a concern about how a matter was handled or there's some more sort of issues you want to discuss regarding it, a supervisor is always available. And I'd rather have the anxiety and the stress connected with being a victim of a crime or witnessing something diminish as quick as possible. So you don't have to wait a couple of days. You don't have to wait a week. That supervisor is immediately available to assist. Command staff that usually work Monday through Friday in the offices, but are available on the weekends, of course, they're also available for contact. We're a small community here, and we're here to serve the community, and the officers that you have are very dedicated to the residents and also keeping themselves safe out there as they face so many dangers out there right now. And I think just lastly, Luke, any other questions that are coming in from the audience or anyone in our live audience this evening? And we have our first question. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
First of all, thank you. Great class. Great presentation. Super important. I have a specific question, and you guys touched on it a little bit, so you might not have an answer. The crossing guards that are situated near Lincoln and Roosevelt and on it. Who determines where those folks live?
So we contract with Andy Frain, that are famously known for security and ushers and crossing guard services. So we contract with them, and usually it's District 90 and the village administrator that work together to sort of determine where the best location has been over the years. Some of them have been the same locations for years. We've actually added locations over at Roosevelt and some of the other school locations. As you heard community service officer Sean Buss speak, sometimes he's there assisting them. If someone falls ill and they can't get a replacement, you'll see a police officer or someone out there. But usually there's a discussion that happens at least once a year between District 90 and the village administrator to see if there's any holes that need to be plugged, where there's additional support. None of the private institutions that also benefit from this, they do not pay any of the bill or tab towards crossing guard services here in the town. That is correct. No, none of the private institutions in town pay for crossing guard services.
You know, the street's one way going north during drop off, and so people use it like a one way. People go on both, you know, point.
Sure. What we can do is, and you actually have someone that's our school liaison officer in the room, Megan Drake. And she's listening and will be reaching out to the principal tomorrow over at St. Luke. And also we'll have an officer go down and sort of monitor that traffic off of Oak and Ashland. The private schools are always welcome to add additional staff or volunteers as needed. Well, let's see if we can do some follow-up. Usually every school in the village, there's a couple times a year where everyone knows what the rules are. And then slowly as the year goes on or brand new into a new school year, there's just some reminders. And that's what led to years ago, the Safe School Route Study, which really added a lot more stop signs to, so as we talk about a pass through and from one community to the other, that really helped eliminate things and made things a lot safer. But we also need those, whether it's our residents or those from other communities or caregivers, nannies, people that are dropping off kids, to use really common sense. I know everyone's trying to drop off kids, go to work, drop off kids, go work out or go to a medical appointment. But let's keep the kids in mind. Let's keep the pedestrians in mind out there, too. But Megan Drake will follow up with you if you want to share with her your information after the meeting. She'll be more than glad to get back to you. Anything more on that topic that we could? Okay. Jan, anything to this evening on behalf of yourself or the or your building? Thank you, Jan. I appreciate that. And Luke, any other questions from the audience?
Does not appear to be any.
All right. And just a couple other quick items, a couple questions that I frequently get asked and have been asked within the past week here. How are we doing with staffing on the police department? We are fully staffed. We're one of the few agencies within this area or region here that's fully staffed. We currently have two officers that are in the police academy right now, and we have one officer in field training. So we're in good shape here in River Forest as far as staffing, and we'll continue to look for trends where if we need to adjust that or make recommendations for additional officers, we will do that. The village board and the residents have been very supportive of our use of technology, and we appreciate that. As Detective Zimeno mentioned, it's a force multiplier. And in the old days when people would say, you can't prove I was there, it's amazing. Not only we can prove that you were there, but what time, for how long, what streets you came into the town on, and match not only our street cameras, but with the residents' own home security cameras, their Ring cameras, their Nest cameras. The businesses in town have expanded their use of technology also. And also, I want to compliment the new state's attorney, Eileen O'Neill Burke, who's been wonderful to work with again and is actually, for the first time in several years, law enforcement in Cook County has had a partner in criminal justice with state's attorney Burke. And we're looking forward to that to continue. And really, we're here for the victims of crimes. They are top of mind for us. The offenders kind of come in shortly after that. So we are victim-centered here in River Forest. So I just wanted to mention those couple